Okay, Parshas Bechukosai, which we will have the privilege to read here this Shabbos in the Gola, begins in Bechukosai Teilechu. If you follow my statutes and walk in my chukim, and Rashi explains that this refers to one who is amel, who's steeped in Torah, eshatiyu amelim batorah. Now, why does Rashi make the assumption? Why does walking refer to being steeped into Torah? Where do we have a connection between that language of halicha, of walking, and amelus, which usually implies standing still and going and plumbing the depths? So Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the late great Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, explained that when people are in the Beis Medrash, all of them are assumed to be amel. Everybody learns in the Beis HaMedrash, and that's why the Gemara says, "And paga b'cha menuvol zeh," if this horrible Yitzhahara grabs you, mashcheu the Beis HaMedrash. You should grab him and bring him to the Beis HaMedrash, because in the Beis HaMedrash, even the Yitzhahara looks like and will act like a tzaddik. It's natural peer pressure. However, the real test of true resolve in Torah study is to be amelim b'Torah, even when teilechu, even when you're walking on the road. And so the Rashi comes along and explains, and b'chukosai teilechu, if you're going to go, shetiu amelim b'Torah, the way to do it is to be amel in Torah. Torah continues and says, if you do it, v'nasati gishmechem b'itam, v'nasna aretz yivula, v'eitz hasadeh yitein b'perio. Then the rain will come on time. I will give you your rain on time. And the land is going to yield its produce, and the trees will give forth its fruit. Now, what does it mean, gishmechem, your rains? Are the rains ours in the first place? And if so, why is it pirio, the fruit of the tree, not prichem, your fruit? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that according to the author of the Toras Kohanim and the great Halachic Medrash Toras Kohanim, we follow that if we follow the words of Hashem, then the fruit of the tree will spring forth on the day it's conceived, as it did in Gan Eden in the time of Adam HaRishon. So Rav Tzvi Rothberg Shalita explains that it takes man to daven in order for there to be rain. As the Pasuk says, Kilo Himtir, the understanding is, before a certain period in time, until Adam HaRishon was there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring rain. So the abilities of nature are to be understood as not natural. They are dependent upon our appreciation of them. And thus, although there was a pre before man demanded it, there was no rain. So the Torah gives us that hint, V'nasati gishmechem, you have to earn the rain. But the Eitz HaSadeh Yitein period, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift to the world. It doesn't necessarily have to perpetuate, but it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. And the Torah continues with all sorts of other wonderful brachas. And then in the immediate thereafter, the Torah continues with the opposite. Bim b'chukosai timasu, if God forbid you don't listen to me, if you don't listen to me, you don't do all these mitzvos. And then the Torah continues, in b'chukosai timasu. Rav Pinkas Atzal explains that the ensuing tochacha is so intense and so intense, because sometimes when you love someone else, it hurts so much to see them going down the wrong path. And when we sin, it brings out the ire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu due to his intense love for us. The Tochacha contains within it a subtle expression of Hashem's intense love for us and his desire that we reciprocate that love in its intensity through the process of Shmiras HaMitzvos. And then we say in B'chukosai Temasu, if you become disgusted in my chukim. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita explains that the Torah uses the term disgusted on purpose. He explains that there's obviously a middle ground wherein a person doesn't follow the word of Hashem due to a general laxity in the observance of mitzvos. And in that situation, the punishments are more mild, because there's a hope for a better circumstance and a return to tshuva before the onset of the tochacha. Hence the two psukim, imlo sishmuli, and then v'im b'chukosai timasu. That once you get to the point of im b'chukosai timasu, there's a little bit more intensity. The Torah tells us, us tirtza aretz ha'shab sosa, that the land will observe its shmitas, and Rashi notes that during the 70 years of Galus Bavel, the Jews were paying back for the 70 Shemitahs that they did not observe during the time of Bayis Rishon. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal asks, how is it possible that in the days of David and Shlomo, in the days of Chizkiyo HaMelech, the people didn't observe Shemitah? It seems like ridiculous. If we count up all the years of Galus Bavel, there were 70 years, which would mean there were 490 years for which the land had to atone, which means that that's the entirety of Bayis Rishon, which would mean that historically speaking, if Rashi's correct, they didn't observe Shemitah during the entirety of Bayis Rishon. That seems crazy. So Rav Yaakov explains that the stories of Bar Bechu Kosei are really one long story, and the idea of Shemitah is directly connected to the idea of Amelus Batorah. So what says Rav Yaakov is the story over here is, while the Jews may have observed the prohibitions against working the land during Shemitah, they most certainly didn't observe the responsibility to use that time to study and be Amel in Torah. And that was the intention in the curse, that Bnei Yisrael are supposed to use their time, their free time, to go ahead and grow. Rabbi Reisman, Shalita, the Rosh Hashiva and Torah Vadas, the Rav of HaGodesh Yisrael of Madison, adds that this is the reason why the ensuing Galus Bava was filled with Torah advancement that was unknown up to that point. Because it was the opportunity to focus more on more important foci, the idea of Amelus B'Torah. Rabbi Reisman adds that the same needs to be our focus during breaks from work and life responsibilities. We need to use it to be Amelim B'Torah. We have an upcoming holiday of Shavuos coming. So, yes, it's 3 days, but what can we do of 3 days off and wonderful food? The real trick is to be Amelim B'Torah. And then the Tochacha continues, Ve'af gam zos be'eretz oyveyem lo ma'astim lo ge'altim l'chalosam. Even with all this, I didn't become so disgusted with them to renege on my bris with them. And the question has to be asked, because in other words, there's a point that despite the fact that it seems that we're so unworthy, we can never be destroyed. And why is that so? So the Zohar Kaddish explains that this is because Am Yisrael is the only nation that can declare Malchus Hashem as eternal in this world properly. In the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, Am Yisrael needs to be eternal as well. So Rav Sabato, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Ma'ale Adomim, the wonderful author, explains that a Jew will always have at his core an understanding that Ein Od Movado. And that's the closing Nechama of Eicha. Kiyam Ma'os Ma'astanu, if it looks like you've totally gotten disgusted with us, we don't believe that. It's really only ketzef. It's really anger. But Hashiveinu Hashem Elachem Hashuva Chadei Shameinu Kikedem. Right? You should return us Hashem and make our word and bring our words back to the days of old. Now the Torah goes ahead and closes out the book of Vayikra with the story of Temura, the making of Temura, and the Torah tells us, right, that when it comes to a temura, ve'imhamer yamirenu v'ayahu temura so yekodesh lo yigael. If you replace it, so both the animal and its replacement become holy, you can't redeem it. So it's assumed that whether one intended or didn't intend to make temura, the temura still happens. Now, how does that happen? Hershechter Shalita used to quote from Rav Soloveitchik, who noted that the power of Hekdesh on the second animal comes as a result of the commission of a sinful act. Whether you meant to do it or whether you didn't mean to do it, a sin was done over here, and that creates a sense of kedusha, of distancing. So this, explained Rav Shechter, that's one of these paradoxes, where the transgression creates a situation of distance, which becomes a situation of kedusha. Finally, in the Haftorah that we are going to read this Shabbos, the Torah tells us, the Navi tells us, Baruch HaGeber Sheivtach B'Hashem, V'Haya Hashem Iftacho. Blessed is the person who puts his trust in Hashem, and then Hashem will be his security. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi explains that the reward for relying on Hashem is that Hashem comes to the aid of the individual who relies on him. So Rav Pam Zatzal once noted that one of the immediate rewards that comes to a person when he puts his bitachon in Hashem is that the person can face life challenges with a sense of menuchas hanefesh, with a sense of calmness of spirit, which, by the way, in turn enables him to weather life's storms. That's the Baruch HaGever, the blessed be the person, Asher Yiftach B'Hashem. Then Hashem will be maftiach to him to be able to handle the challenges of life that come his way. We know so many people have so many challenges, but when they have the ability to have the menuchas hanefesh around the challenge, sometimes that helps, and it gives us the ability to plan and face life head on. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom to all, and a Shabbat Shalom, and a Chodesh Tov Umvarach.